and welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here is this week's talk, Baraka.
Because you are faithful and you are our firm foundation. Our hope is only in you. Lord, though the seasons change, you remain the same. And so our response will be to worship and live our lives in love to those around us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask for more of you, Lord. That you fill every room that people are watching from today. Lord, just come, Holy Spirit. Let the weight of your glory just fall on us everywhere we are. Let the weight of your glory just fall on us. Yeah. In Jesus' name. So, we've been following the life of Jesus after Easter because he hung around for quite a while before the ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus rose from the dead and he hung around for 40 days and showed up to hundreds of people. And so we've been walking through that and because I personally think this is one of the most has been one of the most significant and relevant Easter and post-Easter seasons in our lifetime, you know. There's an article I read right after Resurrection Sunday. Some guy said that not only was the tomb empty, but the churches were empty too. And that kind of upset some people, but, you know, I guess he was just trying to state some facts. And, you know, that makes this quite relevant, this period after resurrection quite relevant, because after resurrection, the disciples, people who loved Jesus, were also behind closed doors, just like we were after Resurrection Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, and even now. There's a research department in a university in the U.S., that was tracking cell phone data and they showed that overwhelmingly so many people in the U.S. stayed at home during Easter, and that's beginning to change. So still the same thing on Easter Sunday and times after that, people are still at home just like they were at the when Jesus rose from the dead. It's quite relevant. We're living through a historic moment. This is exactly what was happening then. It's so relevant. I don't know if it has ever been as relevant in our lifetime as it is today. And, you know, I'm not saying that it is at any point not relevant, but it's just deeply resonating with us in this season. Here in Kenya, things haven't completely shut down, but there are curfews in place. There are bans on the number of people that can gather together. And you know, quite rightly, even today, most of us, well, you're all watching from home. Just like those first few days after Easter, people are just shut. The disciples of Jesus were shut behind closed doors. You know, I think even more in our lifetime, this is more relevant. It resonates with us because it's happening to us. That period between the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in what is called Pentecost. And you know, they were behind closed doors because of fear. They feared that the same people who had killed Jesus would come back for them. So they were hiding and they were grieving. We are behind closed doors for very different reasons, public health reasons, and behind closed doors, some of us are actually meeting their fears. What shall we eat? How will our business fare? Will we have to close down? Will we get infected? You know, some are literally meeting their fears in the people they live with. You know, because people are no longer having having the option, escape from relationships that have failed. Some people are at home with people who have abused them, as we see cases of domestic abuse rise. Some people are at home and they're facing mental health issues. So we're behind closed doors for different reasons, but just like them, we are meeting some of our fears. So I think it is quite significant. We're living through a historic moment, and the death and resurrection of Jesus, the time he spent with his disciples, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has never quite resonated with us in our lifetime like it is today. And you know, during this time that Jesus spent around, as I said, he was around for like 40 more days. He performed so many miracles, and he appeared to hundreds of people. And it is these appearances and these encounters that sprung the Jesus movement. Because when he died, they stopped believing. When he died, they ran into hiding. When he died, they were done. And then he appeared to them. They started having encounters with the risen Jesus, and it transformed them. So much so that some of them were ready to die for this new confession. So much so that almost all of them died for the gospel of the kingdom of God. Gospel that they had been told before, but finally the death, resurrection, and outpouring of Jesus and outpouring of the Holy Spirit changed their worldview. It became the lens through which they interpreted their lives, their time with Jesus, and everything Jesus told them. And he provided them with propulsion to be ready to even die for this. And you know, it's not just the 12, it's not just the disciples of Jesus who got onto this path. We have people like Paul who came later on. They had an encounter with Jesus, and their lives turned around. And another interesting bunch are two brothers of Jesus, you know, of the same mom. And imagine what you would have to do to convince your brothers that you are a big deal. They've lived with you. They kind of know you. Now, these two, James and Jude, got to a point of calling Jesus their Lord and their God. What could that be about? They had encounters with the risen Jesus. These encounters made the difference. And one of the things that has been cool for me as I think through this season is that Jesus kept appearing behind closed doors, just like ours. The disciples were behind closed doors and Jesus appeared to them. We are behind closed doors and Jesus is appearing to us. He's making encounters with us. And I've been hearing of these stories, and the team is continually prophesying that over you guys, and we are praying for it, that you guys will encounter Jesus in undeniable ways, even in this time of confinement and contraction. That you will encounter Jesus in undeniable ways, because that's what makes a difference. And so here's another thing I want to invite you to do. If you have been having encounters with the Lord in this season, share them in the comments section if you feel free to do it. Let it not only be an encouragement to others, but let's just see what God is doing, you know, around those who are a part of the stream. So last week, Bill talked about an appearance Jesus made around a dinner table, and just how it evoked gratitude, and a gratitude that just repels fear. And so this story he picked was around this guy called Thomas. And this appearance around the dinner table behind closed doors was a second one. Jesus did it twice. So I'm going to take that cue and go to that story for a second time. You know, it's about following Jesus in everything we do. So let's do that. And so I want to give you a bit of a background into that story again, just in case you forgot some of the things Bill talked about last week. So Jesus had shown up. So Jesus had risen from the dead. He had shown up behind closed doors, but someone was missing. This guy called Thomas. So maybe, you know, if they were, you know, they were hunkering down, they were behind closed doors. So maybe it was Thomas's day to go and get supplies, and they could only do it one person at a time. Maybe Thomas was ignoring the curfew and he just went out. Maybe he was an essential worker, so he had to be out. Whatever it is, when Jesus first appeared, Thomas was missing. For some reason, he was missing. And then he comes back, and all his friends are raging that they have seen the Lord. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. It hurts. You know, let's walk through this a little bit. Jesus had given him hope. Jesus had made him believe in him. Jesus had made him give 3 years of his life to him. Jesus had made him believe that things can change and things will change. Jesus had evoked hope that Thomas was longing for, and he followed faithfully. He followed learning, and he was passionate. And then Jesus died on him. And in his mind, the Messiah was not supposed to die. And hope can be a dangerous thing. Hope can be heartbreaking if it is not fulfilled, if it is not met. So Jesus raised all of Thomas's hope only to die on him. Thomas is heartbroken. And you know, he's coming to grips with it. Jesus had been dead. He saw him die, and he's beginning to grieve. He's angry. He's hurt, but he's saying, okay, he's dead. And then his friends tell him that they've seen Jesus. It hurts. Why did Jesus first and foremost die on him? And two, why did he show up on the one day he was missing? Why? And so I can see where Thomas is. Like, if you've had your heart broken before, you're very careful about picking up love again. You're very careful about picking hope again. He doesn't want anyone to raise his hopes again because he knows too well what that did to him. So he raises the bar and says, listen, guys, I'm done hearing that. Unless he shows up for me. Okay, he showed up for everyone. No. Unless he shows up and I get to touch the wounds on his side, I will not believe you guys. And I see where Thomas is. He had hope before and his heart was broken. And I see where some of us are. Some of us have given up on God because you're afraid of hope. Because of the pain of abandonment, because of hurt, because you think God didn't show up, because you feel like God let you down, you're afraid of hope, and so you don't even want to dare believe in God, because if you dare believe in God, it would say that maybe things can change. It would say that maybe the kingdom of God isn't too far. So I can see that some of us are just pushing God away because we are afraid of hope. Some of us have come a little bit close and you're like, yeah, I think he's a historical figure, but you don't want to hope that he is God because you're giving up on hope. And this is where Thomas is. We resonate with him. And Bill mentioned that he was not alone. You know, he's just the only one that carried the tag around. But all these other guys ran away. They also didn't believe. So I resonate with Thomas. And I know so many of you resonate with Thomas when you've waited on God and now you're just thinking, I don't want to buy into this healing thing. I don't want to buy I just don't want my hopes raised. Not again. This is where Thomas is. And, you know, confinement, at times like this, have a way of bringing out what our true confession is. These guys had made so many confessions when Jesus was with them, but that confinement made them realize that maybe they didn't actually believe the confessions they made. I remember Peter looking at Jesus and saying, "You are the Christ." I remember one time Jesus asking them, "Are you guys also going to leave?" And they say, "Where would we go? You're the words of life." But now, Jesus died and they realize, you know, confinement and contraction show us what our true confession is. And Thomas was bold enough to show his true confession. I don't believe unless he shows up. And the interesting thing, you know, the world is in a time of confinement right now. We're in a time of contraction. And I think people are meeting their true confession. There's so many things you confess during public worship. Oh, God, you're a healer. And now you're wondering, is he? In public worship, in corporate worship, you confess, oh, God, you provide. And now you're wondering, does he? As following and retrenchment goes around. It's like contraction and confinement bring out our true confession. And you know, there's something about corporate worship that comes with social pressure. That I have to believe everything everyone in this church believes. But now we're alone at home with just our spouses or our friends or just alone. And finally, we are facing our true confession. This is what Thomas is going through. His true confession is coming out. That I'm not sure I believe unless I see him. And I think that's a good place. I think that's one of the treasures of this time. That the true confessions of our heart are showing up. The true confessions, our faith and our confession is going through the fire, and we are seeing what they are actually made of. So, one of the things I want you to think about, what are some of the confessions that the Holy Spirit is showing you and saying, take a look at this. Did you really believe? Take a look at this. Do we need to talk about this? What are some of the confessions that you carried with you just because of the social pressure? And now let's just dive into the story. This is in John 20, 24 to 29. All of the 11 were present except for Thomas. He heard the accounts of each brother's interaction with the Lord. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas, "Until I see his hands, I feel the wounds of the nails and put my hand to his side, I won't believe what you're saying." 8 days later, they gathered again behind closed doors, just like we are today. And Jesus reappeared. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus said, "May each one of you be at peace." Then he drew close to Thomas. Jesus said to him, "Reach out, touch me. See the punctures in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it to my side. Leave behind your faithlessness and believe." Thomas, moved with emotion, says, "You are the one true God and Lord of my life." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, you have faith because you have seen me. Blessed are those who never see me and yet they still believed." So Thomas sees Jesus and he is awed. He's full of awe. You know when you're playing, you know, when you're playing tough guy and you say, yeah, I want him to show up. And you're talking of someone in high power or high position. You're like, he can't do anything to me. I want him to show up. And then that person shows up and you're like, oh, I actually didn't mean it. You know, it was just a joke with the boys and the girls. I wasn't very serious. I feel like this is some of what's happening. I won't believe until he shows up. This is Jesus you're talking about. Yeah, I don't care. I won't believe. And then Jesus shows up and Thomas is like, I didn't say that. And then, you know, Jesus calls him, "Why don't you touch me?" It's like, we don't really need to go there, you know? Now that's just my recreation of the story. But isn't it so cool that Jesus shows up because Thomas said, "I will not believe." He shows up specifically for Thomas. You know, that's why I am so convinced if you are longing to see Jesus show up, he is faithful and just to show up. So keep longing. Don't give up. Don't quit praying. Don't quit asking God, show up for me too. Don't quit putting before Jesus all those confessions of your heart that have been brought out, that have been exposed. Just go, "Lord, look at what is being shaken at this moment." You know, we're confessing that we will not be shaken, but sometimes the Holy Spirit shows us, hey, look at what you've allowed to be shaken. Don't quit bringing it to him and say, "Lord, this one is shaken." You know, the other thing I realize is encounters with Jesus while we are in confinement change our confession. Before, they had just confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. But Thomas has this encounter with the risen Jesus, and he has this powerful, deeper confession. He says, "You are my God." This is exactly what happened to the brothers of Jesus. They had encounters with Jesus that drastically changed their confession. When we have encounters with the risen Jesus, it gives us a new, deeper confession. And that's why I keep praying for you guys. I keep prophesying over you guys that God is going to meet you, and he's meeting you guys. So keep praying, keep asking, keep waiting, because your confessions will grow deeper and truer. Our worship, I think the worship that will be born out of this time of confinement is going to be deeper. It's something we haven't seen yet. It's no longer just about Jesus being Christ, but it'll be Jesus being our God and our Lord. There's something special about our moments of confinement, so don't rush through them. Be in a posture of surrender and asking God, meet me, yeah, meet me. Show up for me too. And you know, it can be very frustrating in your low times to go onto social media and everybody's going, oh, I've had a good day. Oh, I got married. Oh, God showed up for me. Oh, I'm hearing from God. And you're just going, but where is he? And this is where Thomas is. So keep asking, keep waiting, because the encounters in times of confinement, they change our confession. And a few interesting things that I was noting as this was going on is that when Jesus encountered Mary, or when Mary encountered Jesus at the tomb, Jesus said to her, don't hang on to me yet. I need to go to our Father. So you go tell your brothers and sisters. I feel like Jesus is saying, hey, I'm on a schedule. I'm not in a hurry, but there's some important things that I got to do. And I think these appearances were very, very important. He had to do them before the ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it seems to me that this second one was not scheduled. He did this twice because Thomas asked for it. Because one, Jesus is not in a hurry, and Jesus responds to the calls of the depths of our heart. Deep cries out to deep, and Jesus responds. So don't be scared of calling from the depths of your heart. This is why I'm so convinced that God is pursuing you. God is pursuing me. God is pursuing the church. God is pursuing the world. You know? And here's another reason this is so important. Church tradition holds it that Tom went ahead to be one of the first missionaries in Asia, I think. What would have happened if this appearance didn't happen? Jesus found this so important, and he made this encounter because Thomas needed to take his place in the story of the kingdom. The reason I am so convinced that God is going to show up for you, for me, for the church, and for the world is because there is a coming season. The future is coming. It's going to be very different, and it will need you to take your place in the story of the kingdom. Thomas needed a new, deeper confession if he was going to be the apostle that he was always called to be. If the church is going to be who we were created to be in this world, in the season that is coming after COVID-19, after lockdowns, our confession needs to be newer and deeper. And this makes me excited that God is showing up. He's going to show up. You know, some parts of the world are beginning to reopen. There are conversations in Kenya about opening up, starting with restaurants. And however these go, tomorrow will look very different. We have no idea when people will be allowed to gather in this building again. We don't know. The world that is coming is never going to be the same again. You know, Our healthcare system will never be the same again. Our politics will never be the same again. Our economics will never be the same again. The world that is coming is different, and the church needs to be in its place. You need to be in your place for what God is calling you for. So I want us, it's not a question of whether you prefer that we open up now or we prefer that we delay, because there's all that conversation. You know, it's not a question of whether we want it to end tomorrow or in the coming few weeks or in a few months. Those are good conversations, but I think they're secondary. I feel like the most important conversation now is, are we fully surrendered to Jesus and asking him, Lord, change my confession for what is needed for where you're sending me to. Whether we open up tomorrow or in a few weeks or in a few months, Lord, my posture is surrender. Let the posture of the church be surrender. Let your posture be surrender, that Jesus will change your confession for the calling that is on your life in the season to come. The church will be needed by the world. The world will need the church. But the church that will make the difference in the coming season needs to have a newer and deeper confession. And that's what this time of confinement, encounters with Jesus in these times of confinement will do. And as I finish, the reason why this story is just so special to me is that Jesus shows up from the dead in glory, full of his glory, but he's got scars from the cross. Jesus is showing a God who has scars. The wounds don't hurt anymore. He has scars. And the scars tell the story of God's victory over death. You know, resurrection does not deny the cross. It vindicates it. You know, glory is not shiny, as I kept on saying. Glory is weighty. It's seeing God with scars, and it's just a weight that we cannot handle. That is what glory is. In a world that pays millions, tons of money to get rid of scars, and then God shows up with scars, that's powerful. The coming season will have scars from this season. But the scars won't hurt. They will tell the story of God's victory. The church in the next season will have scars from this season, but the wounds won't hurt. The scars will tell the story of God's victory. You in the next season will have scars from this season, but the wounds won't hurt, but the scars will tell the story of God's victory in your life. You know, and a storm looks at Jesus, his friend, his Lord, and his God, and he sees him bearing scars. He knows it's okay if he becomes the apostle who is called the Doubting Thomas. He carries that scar with him because it doesn't hurt anymore. If Jesus showed God with scars, Tom can go around telling that story. He meets people, he meets people and tells them, let me tell you how I doubted God. He can carry that scar with him. Because he knows Jesus understands abandonment. Jesus understands pain. Jesus understands death. And he wears the scars to this day. Some of you are being invited to take your place in the kingdom. But the enemy is just drawing you back, saying, but look at your scars, you know. He keeps pointing to your scars, you know, from abandonment, from a broken marriage, from deep loneliness, from addiction, from struggles with mental health, from bad life choices. And he's saying, no, I don't think you're cut for this. But a God with scars says that, you know, resurrection isn't a denial of the cross. And it says that glory isn't shiny, but glory is weighty. Because as you take your place in the season that's coming, as the church takes its place in the season that's coming, and the world looks at us, a resurrected church, a resurrected me, a resurrected you, and they see scars, they will hear God's voice in a new way, and it will draw them into a confession that they had never made before. It's Jesus's prophecy. It's a prophecy that Paul writes about Jesus, that his strength, his perfect strength, is made perfect in our weakness. Let's pray. God, thank you, because on you are scars that I caused. On you are scars that the world caused on you. And you still wear them to remind us that the scars I've caused to myself, the scars people have caused, the scars nature and the wickedness of men have caused us, will not keep you from us and will not keep us from what you're calling us to be. So Lord, let your spirit just settle in us, in our rooms, in our living rooms, in our families. Let us have encounters with you that our souls cannot deny. Father, change our confessions. Bring us to new, deeper, intimate confessions. And prepare us for where you're inviting us to be. Thank you very much, and see you again next weekend. God bless you.